This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is an iFanboy Books Blood podcast on Russian Olive to Red King.
Can you guess what I'm thinking of? There's someone that I can love. Just don't know where to start. I'm the king of broken hearts.
Hello, welcome to the iFanboy Books Blood podcast on Russian Olive to Red King. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Hello. What I like about Russian Olive to Red King is that on the spine, it just has one last name.
Imminen.
Imminen. That's all you need to know. Imminen. Even though there's two, there are two creators on this graphic novel.
Not imminent and imminent.
Like a law firm. This is the Books Blood podcast that we do because our lovely patrons at patreon.com/ifanboy reached a certain level. And now we do a special show every month. One month it's a Talks Blood where we interview somebody in the comics industry. And then the other month it's a Books Blood in which we discuss a graphic novel, trade paperback, collected edition, something outside the usual weekly grind of comics. And quick note that we mentioned this last time on our last show. On the first episode, we said it was a book that we would definitely be recommending. The second show, we did a book we had none of us had read before picking it. And the third show, same. So I think we're going to say most likely they're going to be books we haven't read or know about before we pick
them. Yeah, and I think and I don't know how you guys felt about this book, but you tell me, you know, Stuart Immonen working with his wife Catherine Immonen on a graphic novel, even without reading it, I'm already inclined to think I'm gonna like it for some reason.
Sure, there's no guarantee that we're going to
talk about
a book that we wholeheartedly are endorsing. I think it's actually more interesting this way, not knowing what we're talking about. So this is Russian Olive the Red King from Ad House Books.
I mean, we know what we're talking about. We just don't really know the content.
Written by Catherine Immonen, drawn by Stuart Immonen, one of our favorite artists in comics. And it's a how many pages is this?
It's a thick book.
It's a lovely hardcover.
But it goes fast, and then it doesn't go fast.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily criticism.
Let's dive into it. This was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Terrible.
Oh, I adored every page of this book. I loved it.
It's a gorgeous book. He's one of the best artists in comics. This was a disaster from a story point of view.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hang on. Before we hear what Josh thinks, it's 176 pages, okay. Published by Ad House Books. It was published in July of 2015. Josh, where do you fall on this?
I loved it.
Wow. I'm with you, Josh. I loved it.
I will say there's two parts to this book, and that's I guess, important to know. There's a comics-based sort of first part. It's all sequential with just mind-blowing storytelling, I thought,
yeah,
from Stuart Immonen, who is probably, you know, if not the best working comic book storyteller, you know, there's no one better.
Well, yeah, we're gonna get into that, but continue explaining.
Second part is sort of a hybrid prose poetry sort of bit of storytelling.
Yeah. More prose, not so much poetry.
Yeah, but like the format of it is almost poetic.
Yeah, I know, but there was no. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about rhyming, but I mean, but it was sentences. It wasn't. It's definitely prose. It's laid out to look like, I guess, poetry or whatever.
It was laid out to look like he wrote it in his little book.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, yeah. I found so that, and that prose part represents the last quarter of the book.
Yeah,
I want to say not a third.
It's not a half or close.
It's not a half or a third. Yeah, I think it's about a quarter of the book.
That being said, it goes on way too long.
My only criticism of it would be that what happened was, at least for me, is I'm reading this story, and we'll get into the story, that I just got engrossed by, and we'll talk about Eminem's art, because I feel like that's the key selling point for this. And then it was like, you know, screech on the brakes, car spinning. And then, you know, complete change of direction. And at first I was like, I laughed because I'm like, oh, the guys aren't going to like this. And then as I got deeper into this story, by the end of it, I was as engrossed by the prose as I was by the graphic novel aspect of it.
Not more so. I said, if not, like, I found myself, like, when the brakes got screeched on like that, I thought, how long is this going to go for? And I kind of flipped it. I was like, oh, Jesus, it's the rest of the book.
Yeah.
Because this other story sort of ends.
We don't get resolution. Which
you do, except it's like, oh, it isn't going to do that thing. That I guess we have to talk about spoilers. I don't know how to not do this otherwise.
Yeah, so spoiler warning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there's a guy and a girl, Russian Olive and Red King. Olive takes off on a science trip up into the snowy mountains somewhere, presumably
Canada.
Yeah, BC, something like that. Plane goes down. She's going through the woods trying to survive for a while. All the while, we go back and we see the Russian king. I'm going to call him that. Can't remember his name. Yeah. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. They go back to him and he's sort of moping about in his life and he's alone. And then basically,
You gloss over the fact that she's in a plane crash and survives in the snowy tundra of Canada.
We can get to all of that. Yeah, the point is, it ends. That part ends because she's not going to make it.
She crawls in the cave to die, yeah.
Yeah, and he realizes it. And we are so trained, I think, by narratives to think, you know, there's going to be more to this, and there isn't.
Yeah.
She just didn't make it, and it's very sad.
God, I wanted them both to die so bad so quickly. I couldn't stand either character.
Wow. Well, hang on. And then what I found interesting and what kind of ties it all together is, you know, you have this couple where she's some sort of researcher, some sort of historian. And that's what she was on a trip to go see Russian glyphs or something in Canada. And the plane crashes. Nobody knows that it was a day trip. Nobody, you know, like, it wasn't logged. Nobody, you know, they can't find her. And meanwhile, her boyfriend, husband, whoever else, her partner, is this guy named Red, who's an artist, and he's in New York City.
He's a writer.
Is he a writer or an artist?
Yeah, he's a writer. His column is constantly due, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, but it was about art. Like, he's in the art world, right? Yeah, and
it's gallery that he owned.
Yeah, yeah, and he's supposed to write the book to go with the exhibit, right? But he is just he's missing her, and for half the story he doesn't know that she's missing, and then he gets the phone call saying that she's gone, and you got this subtext of, you know, I was always waiting for her to leave. Like, this, you get this idea of, you know, he had it in his head that the relationship wasn't going to work out. And even the guy, his partner, who's yelling at him, his business coworker, who's yelling at him about the work that's overdue, saying, you're horrible. She's just going to leave you, and that whole kind of thing. And then it jumps to the prose, and it's him writing about his estranged father. Yeah. And so then for me, at least, it brought the circle back to his character, at least, as to why he was so, you know, resigned to the fact that she was going to leave him.
Right.
Probably not in the way that she ended up leaving him. But, you know, and you go deep into his kind of character. But yeah, this was just it was dark and it was unsatisfying. Like, it didn't feel good. But I still loved it.
Yeah. I really liked the style of the prose. There were parts where I was like, oh, that's really well written.
Yeah.
Even from a character standpoint, I felt that a lot. I am curious, Connor, if you would like to elucidate on what it was you didn't like.
It was completely pointless. I didn't like any of the characters. If you want to read a story about a guy who mopes around for 100 pages, be my guest.
Just talk to me.
I don't want to. There was no point to it. I got about three-quarters way through, and I was like, there's no point to the story. I didn't learn anything about any of these people. I didn't learn anything about life. It was just a woman wandering around the woods until she died and a guy moping around in his bed. And it was zero. This was like the exhibit A for pretentiousness.
It definitely falls in the category of self-indulgent, or but it's very much that pretentious, self-indulgent, but like that alternative comics. I mean, it was published by Ad House Books,
and art for art's sake.
Art for art's sake, exactly. And that,
but it didn't say anything. Art has to say something. This said nothing about anything.
That's not true.
I don't think it said anything about anything.
I think the style with which it's done something, as far as just coming up with a tone, with a sort of feeling that was combined in who these people are, what they're going through, and the way that the art looked. I found myself continually looking at those photos that were under the prose. There were just four or eight pictures that just kept repeating of... It took me a while to figure it's broken glass.
He's throwing rocks through the glass,
Yeah, that made me... It's one of those things where it's almost more like an abstract art where I kind of had to think about what it was that it meant to me, if anything.
And then what's interesting is that the book ends on a photograph of that building.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is kind of, I like the kind of tying into the real world and who knows what the inspiration for the story was or whatever. But yeah, but Josh, I mean, you know, Connor, I find myself agreeing with both of you because, like, you're right. Like, I didn't know enough about the woman, about Olive, to know if she was a good person or not.
Or care. I did not care what happened to her.
Well, I cared because I was sad because they did a good job of establishing that this is a couple that is firmly in love.
Did they? How'd they do that?
In the beginning, I felt it from seeing how they interacted and their goodbye and them in bed together. I thought that was very couple. It was nice. It felt realistic, you know. I agree with you. The character of Red, the boyfriend or the husband or whatever, was very mopey and didn't really do anything. Just let this stuff happen to him. You know, he even went and before she's dead, he's returning a gift he had got her. You know, that was very kind of callous. But the prose, I felt as if, you know, gave me more shape to this person. And the striking last shot of him in front of the building with the dog. You know, where all he's got left is this dog and a building of broken windows. I thought from an art standpoint, as a metaphor, was depressingly touching. But above all, the saving grace is how my main thought of this is that if we never read Stuart Immonen on Next Wave or on Avengers or on, you know, with the thing he did with Miller, if he was just an alternative indie art house graphic novelist, I think we would still rave about how amazing he is because his cartooning on this was just
one of this is some of the best looking work he's done, and he also some colored it too, and it's got a really great orange tone to it.
The sequence but also, where the plane goes down, it's a 2-page spread, and it just like one of the things that I noticed that he got to do here that he doesn't get to do in other stuff is he completely got to take his time with stuff. So when you see Red like laying in bed, they sort of show him laying in bed, they cut to the slippers on the floor, they cut to the clock, like they really got to take their time with it. And you're like, what is this guy who is a defining superhero, you know, storyteller? How does he do something else? And I found that really interesting.
I agree with the breathing of the art, but also just the simplicity of his figures. Like he was drawing people with much less lines and much less definition than he did the superhero comics. And I like this style better.
It's interesting to see how he's evolved from the old days. This is even cartoonier than what we've seen from him recently.
Yeah.
I mean, Red's got a really tiny sort of cartoonish nose that would never work in a real person.
Yeah.
But there's also shades of his original style mostly in the background work that almost always looked sort of photo-referenced, you know, that kind of style.
Yeah,
he's got a very interesting melding here of his two art styles.
There's a shot of her like walking up through a bunch of trees, so it's sort of like a big landscape shot.
Yeah,
and I just spent time like looking at how he drew all the trees.
Oh yeah, totally. Like all the landscapes, all the buildings in the city, all of the coloring and the use of light and shading and stuff like this were just like he really, you know. I just turned to the page of the big landscape with the plane is crossed and the plane is crashed and she's walking away from it, and it's just all those trees and the sun is in the distance. Like that's a great page. Yeah, oh, it's beautiful. But that said, maybe it's the typography nerd in me. I hated the lettering. I just didn't like I don't know if it's hand lettered or I don't know how they handle it, but I hated that the tall.
Tall, skinny font. Yeah,
I just didn't like that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Connor, I get where you're coming from, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I liked it more. It felt like a good graphic novel that I would pick up in San Diego one year and just get lost in, and it's just a self-contained thing that it exists to exist. You know.
Also, just this is a thing with Ad House. The book itself, the object of the book, is gorgeous.
It's a nice book.
Yeah.
It's a really nice package. It's got sort of this
great paper.
Yeah, good paper stock. Yeah.
Well, the outside is sort of like a paper bag coating, and it's embossed with a couple of different colors. It's like a really nice uncoated paper inside. Like the design of it is just super solid, and it smells great. It's a great smelling book.
Yeah, Ad House has always been one of those publishers that they do great stuff that I wish I could get them all, but they're it's not all, not everything is always for me. Like a lot of Jim Rugg's early stuff or Jim Rugg's only stuff came out of Ad House. Yeah, I just like the approach they take to it, for your money's worth as a graphic novel. This is a great book to put on the shelf. In terms of looking. It's listed under, like, on the back of it. I'm looking at it's listed graphic novel / romance, and it is a romance book, but it's just tragic. I think that's what it is. It's just a tragedy. It doesn't end nicely.
I would question where the romance is, but that's all personal opinion. I don't find anything romantic about this book.
Okay,
it's almost about the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they love each other. I think that's, and so this is what happens, and sort of all of his insecurities are brought out by it. Afterwards, he doesn't feel like something horrible has happened to her. He feels like she's left him. It doesn't really matter why, which is because he's a broken dude. There's all those broken windows. That just occurred to me.
And the story, the prose story of, you know, it goes into, you know, comparing the story of Jumbo the elephant to his missing father is heartbreaking. It's interesting that the prose happened when it did, because I had created my opinion of this character in a negative light, much like you, Connor. And after reading the prose, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, it gave me a little more context to who he was. It did go on way too long, though. I agree. It was long.
Interminable.
Overall, though, it's a fast, for 176 pages, it's a fast read. I mean,
I read it in one sitting, totally in one sitting. Yeah, yeah. Immonen is like hands down a master. It's
yes.
This is just amazing.
It really is a little bit of like, whatever he wants to draw, I'm fine with.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think we're lucky. He's actually one of the modern masters who does quite a lot of work.
Yep.
You know, I put him up there sort of in the Quitely category as being one of those really good guys, but like we see him a little more often, so maybe he doesn't feel quite as special.
I mean, Quitely is so, you know, gets lost in what he's drawing, where I get the sense that Immonen, not that his work ethic is better or whatnot, but Immonen, you know, produces.
And he appreciates economy to an extent.
Yeah,
I think. But either way, I like the way that his stuff looks a ton. I really like his style. Even though his style has changed, there's always something about Immonen that's still in there. But the thing that really puts him over the top for me is that just his storytelling is so good. And when we talk about, you know, good storytelling, like he's one of the first guys I always think of. Whenever I read his books, I'm just marvel at sort of just how efficiently he moves, you know, among the panels and tells the story like he's supposed to, which is the main art, the main job.
Well, and what I think is amazing, to go back to your other point, is that, you know, he's doing superhero books and then taking the time to go and do 100 and, you know, he didn't do all 176 pages, but to do 150 or so pages of this breathable graphic novel that his wife writes. I mean, like not many other artists I know are doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
is she done? I know her name, and she's written other stuff.
She's done a lot of comics. Yeah.
She did the, whatchamacallit, didn't she do the Hellcat?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did Hellcat. She's done stuff here and there for Marvel. You know, I'm looking. She did the Agent Carter comic that came out of that Operation Sin that was around a couple of years ago, and she's done some X-Men stuff and Journey into Mystery. She did the Mighty Sith.
Okay, so she's definitely been around.
Yeah, she's been around mostly on the Marvel side of things. But if you remember,
they did a graphic novel before this.
They did Moving Pictures.
That's it. I knew it.
Yeah. That. Yeah. That's the one. It's got like a gray cover with red. You know, that was the World War II story. But the art, remember?
Yep. Yep.
Who published that? That was Top Shelf. Top Shelf did that.
So it's interesting to know that this was not written in a traditional style.
Interesting.
Like she didn't write the book and he drew it. She was off on a work trip and he was sending her art because where she was, she couldn't get self-reception, so they couldn't talk, so he would just send her drawings. And when they came back, they decided to put the drawings together into a story. And so they kind of worked on it at the same time. He redrew the front half while she wrote the back half, but they didn't really communicate.
Interesting.
And then they put it together.
Oh, interesting. Do you think that is a reflects how your negative take on it, or
I think the whole thing was from a story point wasn't very good, so I don't know how that affects it. But
yeah,
it is interesting to know that it didn't really, you know, sort of almost a Marvel old Marvel style where she put a story to his pictures.
Yeah, which is interesting, which you almost never see that in a graphic novel format, you know, which is that's fascinating. That's very cool.
When you're Stuart Eminem, you can get that done.
Man, it's just seriously, I feel like I already really liked his work, but this book put him up a couple notches for me just because it's just ridiculous. Yeah, just so good. So
it's a little like, you know, Mazzucchelli did Asterius Polyp. You just,
yeah,
look what you've done. Look what you've done here. This is completely different.
Yep.
And even if you didn't like, even if you didn't love the story, you didn't get into it, like the very least, it is impressive looking.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it accomplishes what it was trying to do.
I think it does too. It's a tragedy. I mean, like, you're not. Yeah, it's sad. It's supposed to be sad.
I think it would be a really effective tragedy. You have to spend more time with the characters than about four pages, and then you have something to care about when it falls apart. That's her plan goes down on like page 7 or 10. And it's just like, right. Well, I don't know anything about this person. I don't care.
Sorry you didn't enjoy it more.
It's a bummer because I didn't enjoy his Miller book either. So it's been a while since I've enjoyed
it. Oh, wow. You're down on Eminem.
No, I'm not down. The art's been fine. It's just the story, the story the art's telling.
He hasn't really done a project for you in a bit.
Yeah.
All right. He'll turn it around.
Yeah. So this is Russian Olive to Red King. It's published by Ad House Books. You can pick it up. Amazon's got it and they're selling it for like $16, which is like, you know, for $16, it's worth it for the art alone, you know. So definitely go check that out. You can head over to ifanboy.com where there's a post about this show where you can talk about it. If you've read it, let us know what you thought of it. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at ifanboy and /ifanboy on Facebook. And in 2 months, in March, we'll be back talking about another book that hopefully Connor likes.
And hopefully I don't like it, just to change things up, you know?
Yeah, just don't mix it up. All right, so until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm the king of broken hearts. I lost before I ever start to love again. I'm the king of broken hearts. I give it all away to find a friend.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.